The following is a handcrafted, finely aged encore presentation of Car Talk.
You forgot vine ripened. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Employee Motivation Center here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, we're always looking for ways to inspire our fellow employees, and I never thought that the hard metal seats and the 54-degree temperature in the office would have done that,
but no.
Apparently not.
No.
But go ahead.
But, we got some ideas here from someone whose name is, we don't know. Someone.
Anonymous.
Anonymous. Someone sent us this email, and it says how to drive other people crazy. And I suppose it's ideas for things to do at work, most of them are.
Go ahead.
Put your garbage on your desk and label it in. Now, I remember when I worked with my dear friends at the Foxborough Company, I discovered one day that I had some kind of insurance that would pay my salary or 80% of it.
Oh, I know.
If I was judged to be
incompetent, mentally
incontinent.
That too. That was the second phase of the operation.
Because I remember that you and I discussed it at great length, and I decided I had to come up with a strategy for invoking this insurance policy.
Yeah.
And
I think it's called fraud.
And I remember we decided that I would start out by sobbing at my desk every day. Just
exactly.
Sit there at the desk and start crying. And when people came by, I'd say, no, I'm all right. And then you suggested that I should start peeing myself.
And that worked.
That
did it. That was
worked.
The clincher.
Here's a couple of more. Reply to everything that someone says with, that's what you think. Start all your sentences with, in accordance with the prophecy. I like that one. As often as possible, skip rather than walk. I love it. Put mosquito netting around your cubicle. I like that.
I like that.
But I think my idea.
And if all else fails, pee in your pants.
That worked, man. Well, they can't take back that money now, can they?
The money, the settlement money?
That they sent me.
Oh, no. I think you're well beyond the statute of limitations. I think it's 20. 20 years.
Oh, no, it's been
more than 20. Oh, you're safe then. Well, look, if you'd like to drive us nuts with a question about your car, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Holly calling from down the street in Dorchester, Mass.
Hi, Holly.
Holly, you sound like you're talking from inside a barrel.
I do?
Well, you sound like you're in the Red Line T-Station. Columbia
well, actually,
Station?
I'm locked. I'm hunkered down in my kitchen because I'm a daycare provider and I have 5 children between the ages of 12 months and 4 years.
Oh, and you got your head under the sink.
And you have them tied up, huh?
Well, no, I had a better idea. I went out and bought a pack of Oreos. So I'm armed with Oreos, and should somebody wake up unexpectedly?
Oh, you're just going to toss him an Oreo.
Exactly.
Say, shut up, kid.
Okay, so we'll be quick. Go ahead.
Okay, what's up?
Okay, I have a 98 Volvo 850 wagon, and I'm having a hard time each time I start it up. About 50% of the time, I can't get it out of park. Not that I can't, but I have a hard time. I really have to play around with it a lot. And what I notice is if I step down really hard on the brake and then release, sometimes I can move it in.
Right.
And then if that doesn't work, I can put my foot under the brake pedal and pull up and then push down. So with a lot of playing around, I can always, in fact, get it into either drive or reverse. But it just worries me that maybe there's a bigger problem going on.
Oh, there sure is.
So, uh-oh.
Why are you stepping on the brake to shift it?
I guess it's just I'm used to driving a standard.
Have you ever tried to shift it without stepping on the brake?
You can't.
You know, I'm not
Aha!
Sure.
Aha!
Well, that's why, I guess.
There's a switch on the brake pedal.
There's a message. Okay.
Which sends a signal to a solenoid, which is attached to the shifter. So if you don't step on the brake, you cannot shift it.
Okay.
And that switch, I'm going to guess, which is on your brake pedal, is out of adjustment or worn out.
Okay.
But diddling around with the brake pedal always makes it work, huh?
Yes, it does. Sometimes it takes longer than others, but yeah, eventually it does always come around.
Oh, you've got to get this fixed, because there may be a day when you have to get away from those little twerps that you're taking care of, and you won't be able to escape fast enough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, is this something, because I do have a husband who's an aspiring amateur mechanic, and I wonder, is this the kind of thing that you can do it yourself, or is it really involved?
How big is your husband?
He's a pretty big guy.
Forget it. You'll never get him out of there. He'll get stuck under there.
I see.
And he'll be there forever.
Yeah, we got
you have to sell the car with him in it.
We have one skinny...
his legs hanging out the door.
Actually, we have two skinny little guys who work at the garage. Uh-huh. And if you don't have at least one skinny little guy that you can sacrifice, uh-huh, then you may never get him out of there.
So that's their specialty, the skinny guys.
The skinny little guys slither in there. They're like, I don't know, what are they like? They're like
geckos.
Uh-huh. Geckos, exactly. Gecko lizards. They slither in, they fix the problem, and they're gone.
Okay.
In fact, we've lost a couple of people.
We didn't even know
they never came out.
But you need, if he ventures under the dash, it's tight quarters under there.
Okay, and to have it done at the dealer would probably cost
a boat payment. See ya, Holly. He can do it.
Okay.
He can do it.
Put it this way. You could buy a whole freight load of Oreo cookies. What the heck is going to cost you to fix this?
And I just might need them, so I better save that money.
There you go.
Okay.
See you later.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Byron from Pineville, Louisiana.
Hi, Byron.
Pineville?
Pineville.
Pineville, Louisiana.
You guys must have a lot of pine trees there.
That's right, yes.
Are they still there, or have they been all cut down?
No, they're still around, along with the mosquitoes.
Along with the mosquitoes, yeah. No, we have, I found a dead bird in my yard today.
Uh-oh.
I did.
Wow.
The cat got it. Anyway, what's up, Byron?
Well, my car has this funny thing that happens that when it stops, it makes a strange sound and everything seems to slide forward in the car.
You mean all the stuff that you had on the seat falls on the floor?
Well, the whole car seems to move except for the tires at that point.
Oh, really?
It feels like it jerks forward, and you hear this funny sound. I thought at first it was something in the trunk and it was sliding around, but it wasn't that.
Is this an old heap you're driving?
I'm going to guess this is a Ford Taurus.
No, this is a Buick Century 97.
That's 97 Century.
That's a relatively new car.
Yes, and it hasn't been driven too much. I got it used, though.
All right, so
do you have to come to a real screeching halt for this, or just a slow braking?
Even a slow braking, nothing happens until it finally stops. In other words, it's not just when I put the foot on the brake.
Yeah.
But it's when I make it actually stop, and then it doesn't happen every time, but it goes like that.
And you can see the whole car move, or you feel it?
No, you feel it.
Are you sure your seat isn't broken?
Well,
I mean, the seat isn't moving, is it?
I don't know. It's like the whole thing is.
I mean, has anyone outside the car ever noticed this?
No.
No one's ever commented on it.
No, nobody's ever.
So you haven't, like, pulled up to a crosswalk and had someone say, "Hey, buddy, you stop, but your car's still moving."
No one said that, yes.
I mean, it's more likely to be the seat than anything, because in order for this to happen, with the whole rest of the car moving, with the tires not moving, there have got to be so many pieces in conspiracy against you.
Right, and we're going to have to dig up Isaac Newton and rewrite the laws of physics.
Well, you don't think maybe the springs that hold the whole car up? Isn't there something called a suspension?
Well, actually, there are pieces that could be responsible for this thing. As part of the front suspension, this thing probably has some kind of a strut rod assembly.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be, in fact, that if these bushings are worn out, that the car can stop, and then the body of the car can move in relation to the frame. Imagine, if you would, that the body was held on.
Even Byron doesn't believe this.
No. Well, I'm going to see how far I can go with him. Imagine if the body of the car, that is the part in which you sit, were held on to the frame of the car with rubber bands.
Rubber bands, yes.
So that when you stopped, when the wheels stopped, the rubber bands would be allowed to stretch and the body would go and slide forward and then come to rest finally.
It sort of feels like that.
It does feel like that.
Yeah. Well, in that case,
What's happening.
I'm going to guess you have a bad strut rod bushing.
You're not. I don't think he's crazy.
Has anyone else felt this?
No, because the rest of the car is so piled with papers and things that
no one
else
can ride
in it. Yeah,
there's no room for anybody else.
And you sure it isn't all the junk moving around that you see?
Well, it doesn't move anymore.
It's so wedged in there.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing. It's gotten so now that even the sort of smoothest of roads, if it has a little bit of a bump in it, I feel like I'm going over some really bad road. So bump, 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 like that.
Really? Well, I would take the thing in like, what are you doing now?
I'm always listening to you.
Well, I mean, it's when you hang up, you have anything planned?
Work.
No, take it to the repair shop. Have them put it on the lift. I'm afraid there may be something seriously wrong with this.
Uh-oh.
Ask someone to look at all the suspension parts.
Okay.
Yeah, and tell them to drive the car. I mean, it may, if you're lucky, they may tell you, hey, the bolts that hold your seat onto the track are loose, and in 10 minutes you'll be out of there. But I have a suspicion.
I don't think it's the seat.
No, there's something wrong with the suspension.
And that's very expensive, and the car will collapse.
No, it's not necessarily very expensive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, don't worry. Just take it in.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It'll be even more expensive to get buried.
See you, Byron.
Okay, thank you very much.
But we're serious. Have someone look at it.
He's going. He's going right now as soon as he hangs up the phone.
Yeah, okay.
So I'll see you later.
Great.
Okay.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Liz Harvey from Madison, Wisconsin, calling you from Mesa, Arizona.
Hey, Liz.
Hi, Liz.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm awesome. Thanks for asking.
Madison, Wisconsin?
Yeah, well, that's where I live, but I'm in Mesa right now, Mesa, Arizona.
Oh, Mesa, Arizona.
Yeah.
Cool. I think I've been there once.
Why are you there?
I'm on tour. I'm a musician, and I'm doing this national tour, 50 states in 60 days for a Guinness World Record.
Oh, Liz, I've heard of you.
No way.
You're doing the Great Concerts on the Kazoo tour. Isn't that right?
God, I wish my life would be so simple.
What do you do? What do you play?
I'm a contemporary folk guitar player and singer.
You are.
Are you a member of the Folk Song Army? You know that?
It's an army of one these days, and yes, it's me.
No, the Folk Song Army is a very funny song written by Tom Lehrer.
Oh, I love him.
And
we are the Folk Song Army.
We're the ones who just care. Da, 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 da. It doesn't matter if you put a couple of extra syllables in every line. Something like that. Anyway.
Okay, so what's up? Is it a problem with your guitar or your car?
Well, actually, it's a problem with the guitar the car that I'm driving. The guitar that I'm driving in. I am borrowing a dear friend's vehicle because the first day of the tour in New Hampshire, my car crapped out.
Oh.
And
that was a bad omen.
I know. Hopefully that's the only bad thing that happens the whole time.
Well, you've made it all the way to Mesa, Arizona.
I know. I'm on my 37th state.
Are you doing them in the order in which they were admitted to the Union?
No, I am not.
Are you doing them in alphabetical order?
No, I am
wouldn't
not.
That would be tough, wouldn't it?
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. So you have this dear friend's car. And what is it?
It's a 95 Toyota Corolla station wagon.
Oh, good choice.
Yeah, it's a sweet vehicle. And the problem that I'm having is a sort of ethical, oily dilemma. She wants me to fill her car every time I get an oil change with Mobil 1 oil.
Runs into money.
Well, the money is not a problem. I have no problem spending any amount of money on her because she's a saint, you know? But the problem is I'm having a hard time finding Mobil 1 now because I have about 3 seconds of free time per state. And I'm wondering, if I used a different kind of oil, would she, A, notice, and would it, B, make that much of a difference to the car?
I mean, who would tell her? How would she know? How could she possibly find out?
Well, how about this? Find a place
and buy
a case of it.
Right, but I don't have much room in the car.
No, you can do that. You know, you can also use Castrol Syntec.
Oh?
You know, you could use any synthetic oil, but there are a lot of quickie oil change places which will have a synthetic oil in stock if you go to those places.
Are they all sort of the same?
Are all the synthetics the same?
Yeah.
Well, they'd like us to believe they aren't, but I think
they're... Are they all compatible? Yes.
Are they all equivalent? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, when you go to a restaurant and you say, I'll have a Coke, and they say, no, we don't have Coke, we have Pepsi. I mean, are they the same? Well, not exactly, but they do the same things. I mean, they rot your teeth and all that. You know, they right? They have the same end result. So I think you could use some other synthetic oil and be perfectly within ethical boundaries. Yeah. Does she want to see receipts?
No.
She trusts her. This is a dear friend.
Yeah.
No, I think you could just, you know, if you tell her, I think you should call her up and say, look, I'm having trouble finding this stuff out here in you know, the hinterlands. And because, you know,
but I have it on good authority that all the synthetic oils are
pretty
compatible
much,
and pretty much the same.
And will afford your engine the same kind of protection that Mobil 1 would give.
Oh, right.
And if she has a conniption, then you might have to change your plans otherwise.
Yeah, and you might have to make room under the seats for 4 or 5 quarts.
Oh, right.
Good luck, Liz.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Hey, and good luck on the tour.
Keep us
Thank
posted.
You. I will, for sure.
All righty. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
We are the folk.
Okay, we've now come to that point in the show when our stations and our listeners demand a short break.
Both listeners want the break at the same time?
Yeah, one at each of our remaining stations.
We'll be back with more of your calls in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
I've had 186.
And even though septic tank cleaners wonder how NPR gets anybody to work near us all day, whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
Hey, if you find yourself thinking, you know, this show gets worse every time I hear it, why not check out some classic shows from our archives, like when we used to be good?
When was that?
It's just a figure of speech, you know?
You can download any show from the Car Talk archives at cartalk.com. Just click where it says, listen to the show.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the fine art of killing time at work.
Oh, how now, sweet it is.
In addition to distracting you from your insignificant car problems on the weekend, we also have taken on the awesome responsibility of helping you kill time during the week from the sanctity of your very own cubicle.
Oh, really now? How do we do that?
Should you find yourself with an extra, I don't know, like 3 or 4 hours a day to kill at work this
it
week.
It happens.
Just surf on over to our website, cartalk.com, and there you will find a classic Car Talk puzzler from the Puzzler Archives for your perusal. So,
I would have said, and there you will find for your perusal a classic Car Talk puzzler, because that's a misplaced.
Well, especially if you don't know the name,
prepositional
if you
phrase.
Don't know the definition of the word perusal, you might have thought that the puzzle will help your condition. Maybe
oh,
perusal
yeah.
is
it's
a condition.
It's for your perusal.
It's for your perusal.
Oh,
shrink man. Perusals without surgery. Anyway, every week this summer, while our puzzler is on vacation, we will post another archival puzzler to soothe your aching perusal. And it'll challenge you during those particularly dull hours at work. Those hours like between 9 and 12 and 1 and 5.
Yeah, that other hour, that's always okay. 12
oh, yeah.
to 1.
No problem. Now, if you'd like to call us, we'll take your calls at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Sigrid Snyder from Leesburg, Virginia. How are you?
Sigrid?
Yes.
S-I-G-R-I-D?
My goodness gracious, you must have looked it up in the dictionary.
See, you notice how I just
No, you said
that.
It so perfectly.
Yes, you enunciated you. So well.
Where are you from, Sigrid?
I live in Leesburg, Virginia.
Leesburg, Virginia.
Yes. Transplanted here from Munich, Germany.
Got it. Well, we figured that.
Wow.
We didn't know Munich, but we figured someplace in Germany. How are you, Sigrid?
I am fine, thank you. And hopefully, after I talk to you, I will be even better.
How long ago did you get transplanted?
38 years ago.
And is it taking?
Well, so-so. As long as I make my...
Are you still trying to escape and go home?
Yes, as long as I go home once a year. Oh, it's all right.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yes.
So what's up?
I have this Altima, Nissan Altima, that I got for my daughter, bless her heart.
Mm-hmm. How old is it?
It's a 94. A deer hit her once, but other than that, she has had no problem.
A deer hit her?
Yes, well...
That's interesting.
She is such an animal lover that there's no way she could hit the deer.
Of course not.
So it had to be the deer's
fault. Yeah. Our sister claims that a tree hit her last week.
The deer is a little bit more credible.
And a stone wall.
That's absolutely right. All of a sudden, it came alive, and it headed right for me.
So what problems are you having, pray tell?
This is the strangest thing. I took it in for an oil change to a local gas station here.
Mm-hmm.
And after I picked it up from the oil change, about 2 or 3 weeks later, I noticed the oil light came on. Only when I stepped on the brake, though. And very short, and then it went off again.
Uh-huh.
So a friend of mine, her husband, checked it out. And he said, you almost don't have any oil in there.
That's exactly what I was going to tell you. You were low on oil.
Right. So I did that, and he said, you know, you may, when you take it in for your next oil change, have the guys check it for a leak. He said, you may have a leak. You shouldn't have been that low.
And up until that time, it had never used any oil?
No.
Okay.
And how many miles are on it?
About 107,000. So I took it in for my oil change.
Good.
You know, it was due again.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, and I said, you know, by the way, when you go through with the oil change, there might be a little leak in there. Would you mind checking that out? He said, no. So he calls me back, and he said, we found the oil leak, and the total repair bill is $742.30.
He fixed it?
No.
No, that was the estimate.
He said it will be $742.
Yeah.
Let's see. At a dollar a quart, you can buy 742 and a half quarts.
That's exactly what my cheap German mind went for. If Now, I said to him, well, no, don't do that.
What did he find for $742?
Well, he says the timing cover and the front seal are leaking.
Yeah, and he wants to change the timing chain, the tensioner, the seals, the whole thing.
Yeah, and labor is about $560. Parts are roughly maybe $110.
Oh, yeah, and that's probably close to the right price.
Okay.
So the question is, should we go for it?
Right, yeah.
But let me get the chronology right. Your friend who noticed that you had low oil filled it up for you.
Yeah.
Oh, he did.
And how long has it been since that fill-up?
It's been about 2 or 3 weeks.
And it took many weeks before the oil level went from full to down 2 quarts.
Right.
So let's say you are leaking oil at the rate of a quart every 500 miles. I think that's a conservative number.
Yeah.
And it might continue at that level for quite a while.
Right.
So you could leave it and just continue to add oil. As my brother says, you can add 742 and a third quarts.
Yes, and I'll be retired by the time I use up the $700.
Well, here's the only flaw in that logic, is that the oil leak could get a lot worse without your knowing it.
Until it's too late.
Uh-huh.
And here's when it's going to leak. It's going to leak when you take a trip of 200 miles with it.
Right.
It will be, you check it every day, but you're driving 8 miles a day.
No, I'm driving about 40 miles a day.
All right, 40 miles a day. Made me a liar.
Yes, I am.
But one day you will take a trip of 200 miles, and you will seize the engine because you will have run it out of oil.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And that's the danger. If you're planning to keep the car for the long haul.
Yeah, I do plan to keep it.
Then you should fix it. You should fix it.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to have to... Before you do it, before you spend the $742.50, I would take a trip to your local parts store and look on the shelves where you will find all kinds of jars,
bottles,
and cans.
Are you getting a kickback from these guys?
And look for something that says on it, fast.
Fast?
Fast. And then read the smaller print and make sure that it says, stops oil leaks fast, because there are things that do other things fast as well. You don't want those. You just want the one that says stops oil leaks fast. And it'll tell you to pour a quart of this in your toilet or in your car or in your engine or somewhere.
You might as well pour it down the toilet.
and give it a try. Give it a try.
Uh-huh.
Because sometimes those things work. And you may be the one person in 1,000 for whom it's going to work, and you will have saved $742.50.
And you may make a lot of money because they may have to hire you for one of their ads.
Yeah, you said it stopped my oil leak fast, says Sigrid from Leesburg, Virginia.
And I can prove it with my sheet.
So when you subtract the $10 from the $742.50, mm-hmm. there will be $732.50 left over for you to do with what you will. And I would suggest that part of that go to the Save the Skeets Foundation.
I will personally bring it over.
And if it doesn't work, I wholeheartedly agree with my brother that you should do it now. Because why not now?
Okay.
Now's better than then.
Uh-huh.
See you later.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your advice.
A pleasure.
Thanks for calling,
Sigrid.
Have a
wonderful day. Thank you,
you
for
too.
Taking me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Todd calling from Coopville, Washington.
Coopville.
It's on Whidbey Island.
Really?
Yes.
So you do you work on the island, or do you have to leave every day to go to work?
I work on the island. I'm in the Navy, and there's an air base.
Ah, cool.
So what's going on, man?
Well, I've got a 95 Volkswagen Golf, and every time I back up and have the wheel turn far to the left, I hear this huge clunk, like a big metallic knuckle popping.
Just once?
Just once. Usually it happens as I just begin turning back. And it will occasionally happen going forward as well with the wheel turn, but not
the wheel's going to be cranked all the way.
Just about, yes.
And it's coming from the left side of the car.
It's difficult to tell, but that's what it seems like.
Mm. Now, did you bring this car on the ship with you? How did you get this car?
bought it used a couple years back.
Oh, so you've been here a while.
I have been here a while, yes.
Yeah. Any chance of leaving? Are you going to plan?
Not likely in the near future.
Are you a career guy?
Probably not. No.
Probably not a career guy.
But you
guy.
Shouldn't tell anybody that.
No, no. Your secret's safe with us.
So you're an enlistee.
I'm an officer, actually.
You are. So yes. You've only been in a few years.
Yes.
So I know that the Navy ranks are different from everybody else. Like, what's the first officer rank? Like, it would be a second lieutenant in the Army. What would they call that in the Navy?
It's an ensign.
An ensign?
Yes.
And an ensign first class would be a first lieutenant.
It goes to lieutenant junior grade is next.
Oh, lieutenant junior grade.
I knew him.
and then what comes after that?
Full lieutenant.
That's the same as a captain.
Right. Then a lieutenant commander.
Wow! Right away, lieutenant commander?
Yes.
Man.
Sounds impressive.
Yeah. The reason he's asking this is we have no idea what's wrong with your car, but we figured maybe there's some other question you'd like answered.
So are you an ensign or a lieutenant junior grade?
I'm a lieutenant. Full lieutenant.
Full lieutenant.
Full lieutenant. Man, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
a couple of years.
Yeah, not bad at all. I skipped a couple. Being in school, they try to get us in.
See, I went into the United States Army.
Kicking and screaming.
you know, people don't realize that there are ranks below private. People think that private is nothing.
Right.
I was two ranks below private.
Sub-private.
I mean, because there's an E1, an E2, and then E3 is a private first class. And I almost made it to private first class before they threw me out. I was private first class.
Was it the shower shoes incident?
No, it was the spaghetti incident.
The spaghetti incident.
But, I mean, the interesting thing is that I was all this time. You don't even get to wear a stripe when you're an E1 or an E2.
No. Because
you're lower than whale dung.
Just blank.
You're completely blank. You walk around like you might as well be a prisoner.
Right. And nobody salutes you. What they stone and they spit on you.
They might as well say POW on your back. And once I was a private first class for one day. And I actually went out and bought two of those little stripes and sewed them on my shirt.
Only to have your sergeant rip them off that
night. Sergeant ripped them off the next morning.
Oh, well.
So I can't.
Was it the firing range?
There was an incident.
Was it the firing range incident?
No. It wasn't the firing range incident. Let's just say there was an incident.
Really? Well, we'll have to press you on this because all of America wants to know. So you may not be prepared today, but in the coming weeks, we want to hear. Just give us the highlights. I mean, what did
Well, I was a cook.
Yes.
And I had worked very hard.
We know what an ill-advised decision that was.
And it was only because of my culinary talents, in fact, that I received this honor.
One strike.
And then there was an incident. And it was between me and the sergeant. And we had a difference of opinion. And I expressed mine rather vociferously. And he ripped my stripes off my shirt. But that's all I can say at this time.
At this time.
The rest of it.
Oh, we have to get clearance?
The rest of it is top secret.
Oh, we'll have to call Paul Harvey to get the rest of the story. Anyway, Todd, in case you were
curious about
this car, I believe you have a bad axle.
Okay.
And only when you've turned it to an extreme, you know, because the outer joint, when you've turned the wheel all the way to the left or right, is flexed the most it's ever flexed.
Okay.
And if one of those balls is worn out in the CV joint, it'll make that snapping sound.
Okay.
And it won't affect the way the thing drives or handles otherwise, and I'm sure otherwise it's okay. But you should have it checked in that, not the axle per se, but I would have the front end checked, the ball joints and the tie rod ends.
Okay.
Because these vehicles are famous for going through ball joints, and a bad ball joint can make the same noise.
All right.
And make sure when they check it that they check the ball joints with the wheels pointing straight ahead and also turned in both directions, because sometimes a bad ball joint can be hard to find on these. But check that. If those are all right, suspect the axle, but wait until it gets worse.
Okay, great. Well, sounds like I started some serious reminiscing.
Yeah, I guess so. And call us back when you're an admiral.
Okay.
That'll be in a couple of weeks. The rate he's gone.
See you, Todd.
So long, right, Lieutenant.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Lieutenant. You realize how many grades up that is from an E3? Actually, I was an E2 for most of my career.
Oh, really? E2,
you might imagine, the Army and I did not get along.
No.
You would think that the Army would know in a minute that I didn't belong there. Why would they try to encourage a relationship? I mean, the minute they met me, they knew I didn't belong there. Why didn't they just say,
why
don't you just go home
and save us
all a lot of trouble?
They think they can make a soldier out of anybody. And in truth, they do succeed with amazing regularity.
And you know what the magic is? Every day. There isn't a day that goes by that you don't have to do what you have to do.
Yeah.
But it doesn't...
I know why you didn't like it. It's remarkably similar to work. Yeah.
No, it was my mouth that got me in trouble.
Really?
And they didn't like it when I laughed. Because,
no.
I mean, I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
When Sergeant McNeely used to walk into that barracks on Saturday at noontime, and he said, "Everybody will go on pass this weekend. Except Private Maggie." And I would laugh my butt off. And he was so ticked that I laughed. I was looking forward every week to him saying that. I had this huge barracks to myself for a day and a half.
Oh, boy.
Everybody will go on pass this weekend except Private Maglio. I'll never forget him. Where are you, Sergeant McNeely? He's probably dead. Probably someone killed him.
No, you probably drove him to his grave, the poor guy. He's probably in some asylum someplace. Saying, "Private Maglio's Brave," over and over again. Look, it's time for us to take a break and get ready for the final push.
Okay, we'll be back in a minute with more of your calls, so please stay tuned.
When the trucks don't run, no work gets done, no money gets made, nobody gets paid. When the wheels don't roll, you fall short of the tolls. With a full load of freight, you
sit there and wait. Since when did a truck get a brain? Computers under the dashboard are such a pain.
And even the lightning bugs start flashing SOS whenever they hear us say it. This is NPR National Public Radio.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and ethno-sociology.
We actually have touched on this subject in the past, but this one is a little bit more definitive. And it is, you may be Italian
if. Okay.
And I mean, there are so many of them. I've picked out a few that I thought were especially descriptive or interesting.
And because of our ethnicity, there are no holds barred here.
Oh, of course
right?
not.
We
no, I mean,
it.
If we were talking about some other ethnic group, we'd have to be careful.
We wouldn't. We should. We should have been careful, but
we don't have to even worry about it.
No,
here.
Just go ahead.
Okay. Here they are. You spent your entire childhood thinking that what you ate for lunch was pronounced sandwich. You were shocked to discover that the FDA recommends that you eat 3 meals a day, not 7. You were as tall as your grandmother by the age of 7. I was. You grew up thinking that no fruit or vegetable had a fixed price and that the price of everything was negotiable through haggling. I remember going shopping with my grandmother, and we'd walk into the store, and she'd pick up like 5 or 6 peaches, and the guy would say, 99 cents. 99 cents? What, are you crazy?
Oh, yeah. No, he knew. He inflated the price by 30 cents.
Yeah, right. He's all right, 88 cents. Oh, I'll give you 75 cents.
All
okay.
Right, I'll take it. Well, if you're pining for the Puzzler, you can head over to Puzzler Central on the web, where you can get a classic archival Puzzler every week that the Puzzler's away.
Mm.
Once the Puzzler comes back, of course, that'll be the end of that.
Yeah.
And that's over at cartalk.com. And by the way, if you have a good Puzzler for us, I underline good.
Yeah.
Or anything my brother might want to read, you can send it along to Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
You went too fast here. Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238. But in the meantime, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question about your car or anything else.
Or you just want to rant about something. We haven't heard a caller rant for a long time.
Yeah, there you go. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Anna from Pennsylvania.
Hi. Anna.
Anna.
What distinguishes Anna's from Anna's?
Oh, no. Well, primarily the way you say it.
I noticed that.
Actually, my grandmother was Russian, and she named me. So.
Oh, and it wouldn't have had the same Anna Karenina. Wouldn't have had the same as Anna
Karenina. No, it just doesn't have the same Karenina. Kind of cachet.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's going on?
Well, I'm hoping you can help me out with a dispute that I'm having with my husband about how he drives.
What's his name?
My husband's name is Jim.
Jim.
James.
Not Joms? Okay, James. All right, what's the dispute?
Okay, well, during the week, I drive my car to work and back. And on the weekends, my husband and I drive, and we usually drive in my car.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, when he goes around corners, the tires go scree, just like we're teenagers again.
Yeah.
And what we agree upon, obviously, is that he's going too fast.
Right.
So what we disagree about is when you're going too fast and about to go around the corner, about when is appropriate to brake and when is appropriate to accelerate. And what I have noticed is that my husband brakes as he's turning, and what I contend is that he should brake first and then accelerate as he's turning. And I drew him a beautiful picture with my half-submerged knowledge of physics of a circle with a tangent arc coming off of it.
You're 100% right.
And I described how if you're changing your vector by 90 degrees, that if you brake, then the only vector you have going forward is your momentum, and you have to drag your wheels into the new position. But he was unconvinced.
Oh, no, you
were unconvinced.
Yeah, can you believe that? With logic and a picture and everything.
What a dope. Jeez.
Is he an engineer?
No, he's a writer.
Oh, obviously.
Then he should stick to what he knows best.
Yeah. Are you an engineer, Anna?
Obviously.
Well, I'm actually a neurologist.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
So you took a lot of physics courses in college.
Yeah, I study spatial function also.
Oh, sure, okay. Of course. Yeah.
Well, everyone.
Well, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, of course.
And I mean, at least he agrees that he is going too fast.
Right.
What kind of a car is it? Maybe it's the car that has to be driven fast.
Yeah, right. It's a Toyota Camry.
Okay, well.
That takes care of that.
And what would he drive? What does he drive when you're at work with your car?
He drives a Volvo wagon.
Gee, you got two of the most sedate, staid vehicles
boring.
Ever made.
Maybe that's why. It's kind of a compensation.
Well, I mean, we do know. We've done a big study of Volvo drivers.
Mm-hmm.
And Volvo drivers, many of Volvo drivers are crazy because they drive crazily, rather, because they're stuck in what is really a very, it's a cerebral kind of car, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People buy it for good logical reasons, and therefore they have the right to drive like nutcases.
No, you know what he needs?
A dope slap.
Well, besides that, he needs a Mazda Miata.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think he'd like that.
Is he having a midlife crisis?
Well, I don't think so. He acts pretty normal the rest of the time.
Do you have a dog?
Yeah.
Will he fit in the Miata?
Yeah. Well, he'd love to sit in the front, our dog.
I think you should get a Miata, and that'll keep him from wrecking your car. See ya, Anna.
Take care.
Thanks for your call.
And say goodbye to Joms for us,
too.
Okay, yeah, well.
Bye-bye.
Ciao. Bye-bye. Joms. Like, that's what you wear to go to sleep.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Bill from Henderson, Kentucky.
Hey, Bill from Henderson, Kentucky. What's happening?
I got a 93 Nissan pickup that sounds like it has mice under the hood.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I've got this strange squeaking noise. It's been happening for about 2 months now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And does it happen if you're sitting at idle?
No.
You have to be moving.
Yes, it happens on two occasions. One, when I'm accelerating, and two, when I'm decelerating or putting on the brake.
Oh.
Well, so tell us a little bit about Henderson, Kentucky.
I knew you were heading in that direction.
Is
so
it a quiet little town?
Yes, it is.
It is. Which end of Kentucky is it? Middle, north, south, what?
Not that he even knows where Kentucky is.
I can tell you all the states that border Kentucky.
Go ahead.
California's on the left. Virginia's on the right. North Dakota's on top of it, and Texas must be right underneath it.
Well, you're right.
Did I hit any one of them?
No. Virginia.
Virginia.
Virginia, you hit Virginia.
I did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there any cities in Kentucky? Oh, Louisville is in Kentucky.
Yes.
Is it anywhere in Louisville? One of my favorite places.
Yes. I'm in the western part of Kentucky.
And so is Louisville.
Yes, it is.
It is? I knew that.
Near California.
Well, I would have to say.
Go ahead. Say something, because I'm still working on it.
Well, you have to make the noise. Is it really like a mouse, or is it a...
It's not even that. It's just a... just like that. Just a short squeak.
One time?
At the most, it's done it twice. And I'm thinking that it's a belt.
Here's a good way to find out if it's the belt. Turn on all the accessories, like the headlights, the defroster, and all that jazz, and see if it does it with greater intensity when you rev the engine with all that stuff on.
Okay.
And if it is the belt, you don't have to be in motion to get that noise.
Okay.
So if, in fact, you do get the noise with all the accessories on and it's diminished in intensity with the accessories off, then it would lend credence to the belt theory.
Yeah, but the belt wouldn't just go... The belt would go...
It usually would make a lot, but if it's been the same for a period of time...
Almost 2 months.
So you're driving along and you accelerate, and as you're accelerating, you hear a one or two time,
and
then it stops, even though you're still accelerating.
See, I think it's more likely to be a loose exhaust system component. You know, where the, for example, where the front pipe bolts to the manifold.
I like
or where
that.
The converter bolts to the front pipe. If there's any movement there, and you will get that movement of the engine under load only.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so when you rev the engine, and you might be, is this an automatic transmission?
Oh. Yes, it is.
Put the thing in drive with your foot firmly planted on the brake, your left foot, that is. Okay, and don't point it at your house or anything.
Okay.
Point it at, like, a neighbor's house in the event that something goes wrong. And you're going to give it some gas like you were trying to drive it, but, of course, having the foot brake on and the hand brake, too, will keep the car from moving, and see if you can duplicate the noise.
I like this.
See if you can, but when revving
because
it up.
Because then you'll get the torque of the engine, and you'll simulate what's going on when you accelerate and decelerate on the road.
See, gotcha. as the crankshaft turns, as the engine crankshaft turns in one direction, usually clockwise, the engine, i.e. the whole block, tries to rotate in the other direction. And when that happens, you can set up a dynamic which will cause two pieces of metal, like parts of the exhaust system, to move against one another and make this noise.
Yeah. And does it sound like it's coming like right from almost under you but a little forward?
Yes, exactly.
Oh.
Like it's right in the dash.
We're getting all the right answers here. I'm with you.
Man. So try to duplicate it. And if you can duplicate it, you can take it someplace and you can have somebody lie under the car with a stethoscope and listen.
Okay.
Yeah, while you're in there with revving up the engine, someone's going to lie under the car. Yeah, try to find a real dumb mechanic. Any mechanic.
I was going to my guys to do it. Good luck, Bill.
Thank you very much.
See you.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Evan calling from New Vernon, New Jersey.
Evan? As in E-V, like in Victor A-N?
As in, yes.
As in Evian without the I.
Exactly.
And where are you from again?
From New Vernon, New Jersey.
New Vernon.
Mm-hmm.
No idea where that is.
It's a very small town.
Oh, I'm sure.
Near what?
It's near about 20 minutes from Newark Airport.
Oh.
We know where you are.
Right.
And we know your name, so you're in trouble.
Okay.
So what's going on, Evan?
Well, I have a 2000 Saab station wagon, and I have a 3-year-old that put a golf ball in the exhaust pipe. Fit right in, like a glove.
Yeah.
Which uncle told him to do that?
His Uncle Ramey.
No uncle.
No uncle, huh?
No,
he just thought of it all by himself.
All by himself.
And so there it is in there, huh?
Well, that's the debate, actually. So my husband is convinced that when I turned the car on, it went flying out and just went so far and so fast, I didn't see it come out of the tailpipe. But he does not think that it's in there anymore. So my question is twofold. The first question is that possible? Because it was in a very flat neighborhood at the time. So I think I would have seen a golf ball flying through the air.
But you weren't standing behind the car watching, per se.
I was not standing behind the car, no.
Well, first of all, it would not come flying out like a bullet.
But that's what I thought.
Secondly, if the car is running, and you don't hear it rattling around, it's probably not in there.
Well, where would it have gone then?
It came out and you didn't see it.
Well,
I think
it's still in there.
You do?
I do. Really? You know, the muffler is full of baffles, which are, you know, supposed to interrupt the flow of exhaust to quiet it down. So by the time it exits the tailpipe, it's traveled about 6.5 miles inside that muffler. And with the golf ball there now, it's 6.51 miles. It made a little more of a detour.
But, I mean, the likelihood of it getting from the tailpipe all the way to the muffler. Man.
Oh, no, I think on this
car. We're talking about a 3-year-old kid.
I think on this car. Well, was the car facing downhill at the time?
No,
the car
it was flat.
On a slight downhill, so
slight
it definitely.
Downhill.
Oh, you just said it was flat.
Well, yeah. No, I saw it go in and go back. I mean, it definitely.
See,
went.
Under pressure, the witnesses always.
They
give
always
up the
come up. Oh, so it was really going downhill.
Not farly.
Just
not
doesn't
far,
take much.
It doesn't take much.
Doesn't take much. Yeah. I mean, things roll.
But the car runs okay. You've been driving it.
Well, yes, but I've heard all sorts of things, that the golf ball could catch on fire, that it could melt, that, you know, I've heard many, many stories, many opinions. all of which my husband thinks are nonsense. So
I think he's right.
Well, I think the golf ball is unlikely to catch on fire.
I agree that it's in there.
I think it's already melted.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't take any extreme measures here.
Okay.
I wouldn't do anything.
I would like to find when the muffler finally does have to be replaced in about 5 years.
Right.
It would be wonderful.
To cut it open,
wouldn't it?
That would be. That's a great idea.
Do a muffleloctomy.
Right. and see if there's a Titleist V in there.
Yeah, but if the car is running, then I would forget about it.
Okay.
You might want to just take it to your mechanic and have him just put his hand on the tailpipe when it's running.
Okay.
And he'll tell you right away from the feel of the exhaust that it's not blocking anything.
Don't take it in. It'll cost you $100. Just drive it.
Yeah. See, it's nothing. I wouldn't worry
about
it.
Yes.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Three-year-old
kids.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Do they know what to do or what?
I love it. That reminds me of the time that I was waxing my car in the driveway. It had just come from the body shop where I had a repair done. And, you know, this is why I don't wax my car anymore.
And don't even wash it.
And my then, I believe, three-year-old son, Louie, decided that he was going to help Daddy. And he had found, I don't know where he found it, he found a flattened tin can in the street. And he proceeded to wax one side of the car with the flattened tin can.
Nice.
Well, I did the other. It went right back to the body shop. Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Rental Car and Park Ranger Fugitive. Bongo Boy. Banned in Boston, Berman. That's a tale we'll have to tell soon enough. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David the Calves of Belleville Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the San Miguel, Hot Ficelle, Fresh Morel, Stuffed Gazelle, Duck Quenelle, Pasta Shell, Taco Bell, and Origel Noshantel, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our physical therapist is Estelle Hoyts. Our director of laptop repair is Eustace Hammer. Our luncheon chef is Hannah Mia Canatuna. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the anarchist pedestrians in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember,
yes,
don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 828, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available by calling 888-CAR-JUNK or at the Shameless Commerce division of our website, cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, the best way to get that old heap out of your garage.
What, sell it to you?
No. It's the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program,
where
your used car benefits your very own public radio station instead of Sharky, your local used car dealer.
And you get to chisel the IRS out of some taxes in the process.
That's not nice, but it is satisfying. That's the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. Get details anytime at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though poets everywhere wonder what rhymes with imbecile whenever we say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.